Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by Rife Martin CPA. Today, along with Allison Rife Martin, Philip talks about mergers and acquisitions and succession plans. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Allison Rife Martin, CPA extraordinaire. What's going on, Allison?
Well, I was thinking it's the first week of May, so that adage, April showers bring May flowers. And I think that will be our theme of the month. April showers bring May flowers. And I thought today we would talk about a fun thing I get to do at the end of May, which is I get to do a presentation before the Texas Society of CPAs Nice. On mergers and acquisitions and succession planning. I will be leading a panel of experts on what we CPAs need to do as we think about some point in our careers as to whether we sell our business, we step out of our business, what do we do? So I thought this would be a fun one for you and I to talk about because I know everybody's itching to go to a CPA conference. And I'll give them a highlight of it.
Absolutely. There'd be a lot of good stuff there because y'all talk about money.
Exactly.
Are they going to let you tell jokes on stage? They should. They should let you like tell a few.
I'm not even going to give them the option. I will be doing it. So.
Yes. They're going to say, famous podcaster, Allison Rife Martin.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
So let's dive right in. Let's first off, the accounting profession, as all of us know, especially because finding out how hard it has been to find a CPA to help prepare taxes because so few people are becoming CPAs now. The industry has, it's a completely wonderful business. I've had a lot of, great rewards out of being a CPA throughout the course of my career. Obviously, I'm not thinking of retiring yet, but it's stuff that I have to think about. But the challenges that where the CPA, the accounting profession is running into, it's an aging population. In fact, the average age of a CPA now is around 45. So that tells you that fewer younger people are going into it because they're going for other degrees like data analytics or something. We also have technology, the perception that technology is going to take over our job. It isn't. It's just a supplement to it, but it's hard to get to overcome that perception. In addition, you have, unfortunately, the aging population of CPAs who aren't necessarily open to embracing the idea of using technology to do your tax returns or provide accounting services. So there is that. So I have two different scenarios I thought we would briefly talk about. So the first one is Jane Flavitz, who is a CPA and a solo practitioner. Her business name is Flavitz CPA Services. She's in her early 50s and she brings in revenue of about $450,000. She wants to sell her business when she retires at 65, between 65 and 70. She has a staff person, an executive assistant. She does use and embraces technology. And when she retires or when she exits her business, she needs $2.5 million in income to live. She doesn't know what she wants to do with her life after she retires. And she's looking for advice. So what would you tell her?
And let me clarify. You said she needs $2.5 million.
Investment money.
Okay. And this is cool because this sort of applies to any sort of professional practice practitioner.
Exactly. Or even products and services. So really, I think this is a great exercise to go through for anybody. But specifically, we're going to be talking about Jane right now.
Okay. So let's talk about Jane. So and then what about her expenses? $400,000 of revenue. Do we know her expenses?
So because she's a solo practitioner, her profit margin is 60%.
Okay.
So she's Yes. Because again, she really doesn't have much in the way of
240 right. net. Mm-hmm. 160 expenses. Okay. So she has a great income. So that's pretty good. 2.5 million. And she has about 20 years to,
actually more like 15.
15. And we're assuming she's in an industry where there's, like you said, less people going into it. So it's fuzzy as to who she might sell to, right? But I feel like she has a couple of options. You can go first, or I can go first. What you want to go ahead and go first?
So I'll just say my challenges, or my thoughts of challenges for her, is how does she set herself up to want to be acquired? Because a solo practitioner, the challenge is at the end, what is the buyer buying? Mm-hmm. The clients will come to the solo practitioner, not because it's, you know, some bigwig Deloitte and Touche. It's because it's Jane Flabeet CPA Services, and they come because of Jane. Mm-hmm. The likelihood of the client staying with another buyer is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they have developed the relationship with Jane, not with Deloitte and Touche.
Yeah.
So that right there cuts into the value. Additionally, too, you know, again, what's the likelihood of the clients moving along?
Yep. So this is my situation. So I feel like it's, you know, I'm very similar. I'm a very personalized service. Mm-hmm. My clients really come to me. It's going to mm-hmm. be hard to replace me because my personality attracted a lot of, you know, and I'm have a unique perspective on how I manage money, which I don't know. It's going to be tough to find. So I don't think about selling. I think in this example, it's similar to where my excess profits above what I pay myself, I'm investing that aggressively, right? And I think of, right, like if you're thinking about a business growing, it's going. I go, all right, what are my revenues growing at, right? Let's make up a number. Let's say her revenues are growing at 15% a year, mm-hmm. right? And so you can, so in a normal buyout, you can project that out and then see what somebody might buy it for evaluation in the future if it's a viable business. But in this one, it may not be. So I would go, cool. All I got to do is invest my, if my money is growing my business at 15% a year, right? Maybe not all of it is money, but if it's, you know, but if I reinvest the money, I'm expecting that growth rate. Then I'm going, cool. I just got to buy things growing at, you know, higher than that rate for my investments, right? Which basically then you go, all right, what investments are growing at north of 15% a year? And you go, Apple grew at that rate, Amazon grew at that rate, Bitcoin's growing at that rate, right? So basically like the future, right? You wanna buy into companies and assets that are scarce, that can't be created more of. So you can't, because if it's not scarce, it throws off that math, right? Because if mm-hmm. you can create more of it, it brings the return down. So find like relatively scarce networks or platforms to invest into. My personal favorite is like my portfolio, which is the division of Bitcoin, a few innovative currencies, even got some mm-hmm. gold in it now, right? And then use my company treasury, which we talked about last month, to build that up. So then that way in 15 years, you know, she has 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, like in the company. And
right.
then, you know, she just retires, right?
She
can sell it for whatever she sells it for, or find some other CPA to, you know, because for me, my thought is, I kind of always want to do this, but if I got the money in there, and then I can just hire somebody to like do a bunch of stuff that I don't want to do, so I can travel and then maybe check in and do 10 meetings a quarter, you know what I mean?
Right.
And still pull out some income, you know, that's sort of the way that I'm thinking about it. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, no, I definitely agree. Because it, again, if we focus on just the fact it's a solo practitioner, Jane is going to have a hard time finding a buyer. So I was thinking along the same lines of aggressively investing her net profits, and investing in, like you were thinking, it made me think beyond just in stocks and bonds and Bitcoin or whatever, but also real estate. Like mm-hmm. you could start making investments that way. But in the meantime, while she's thinking 15 years out, if she's thinking at the end, that's all there is, I'm just going to quit. She might want to consider changing her business name to something, you know, because you know, again, the name right now just talks about Flabeat CPA services. Well, maybe think of something that isn't so tied to her name, you know, something like that again, so that it doesn't, so that again, that kind of elevates the business to where someone might want to say, okay, it's going to be an easier transition if I do acquire Jane's business. She should also consider spending the time embracing technology to make sure she's got processes in place to make herself more attractive. Because again, if she's just doing the tried and true, you know, she does have some technology, tax software client portal, but how can she make it more of a seamless experience for customers right now, so that when and if a buyer does come in, it's easier for them to say, okay, all the processes are in place, no problem. Now we just work on client retention. So those were just the kind of things I was thinking about for good old Jane. So anyway, so the next business that we are going to be talking about, her name is Sally Meeps. She's a CPA or owner of a small firm. It's called Meeps CPA and Business Advisory. She is in her late 50s, so her runway to retirement is very small. She has two tax accountants, a CPA, and an admin assistant, and she brings in revenue of $1.5 million. She, like Jane Flabeat, has tax software, client portal software, and she wants to exit her business in 5 years. Now, the difference between her, Sally, and Jane is that Sally has actually an exit plan, what she plans to do with her life after she retires. She wants to invest in or spend time being on philanthropy, being on not-for-profit boards. She wants to feel that she can make a difference. And then obviously spend time with her family, because I'm pretty sure they like her. And her financial needs post-exit are $5 million. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, what do you think Jane needs, Sally needs to do in this case?
I think she can go to her banker and they'll lend her money today based on her business cash flow. And I would talk to my key people and say, hey, listen, I'm going to go borrow some money. I'm going to give you equity in the business. I'm going to borrow money. But you got to pay off this money over time, right? So I'm going to take the money now. I'm going to invest it now. So I'm going to go borrow whatever, $3 million, whatever you can get, $3 million, $4 million. Borrow it. The business is going to pay it back over the next 15 years. So you're going to be on the hook for it. But I'm giving you equity, giving you the business, right? And then they take the money. And then she invested in real estate, Bitcoin, Stonehill Wealth Management portfolio, all those things. And then that way she has 5 years for that money to grow. Right. Like me, if I were a junior CPA and I'm like, yeah, I mean, because we're going to do the math, the business is going to pay for the cash. So I got to just pay myself less, you know, for the duration of the note. You know what I mean? That's fine, because I'm getting the business with no cash out of pocket. That's a good deal to me. So that's an idea that I like.
I like that idea. Because I was thinking along the same lines of, she would need to make sure that her team that's already in place is interested in acquiring the business upon her exit. Are they strong enough to take it over and, you know, continue to maintain the client base and help grow the business? Do they have a vested interest in being owners? And I think your idea is a great way to get them to say, oh, wow, I've already got equity, or I'm going to get it upon XYZ date, or, you know, whatever. But I think that's a wonderful idea. You know, and I think that will help with the idea of client retention too, because if clients aren't going to sit there and say, okay, you know, Joe is going to come in and take over. Who's Joe? You know, they already have an experience with the CPA and the two tax accountants and the admin assistant. So it should be an easier transition upon sale. And I also like the fact that Sally has an idea of what she wants to do, because in Jane's case, and I think we've talked about this before, about a year and a half after a sale, the business owner regrets doing it because they were so used to being in the business, you know, in the thick of things. And if you don't have anything to do, you're going to be like, oh, I wish I was back. Oh, you know,
Don't have nowhere to fill that time. Right. Just walking around anxious.
Exactly. I also think that Sally should consider changing her business name, because again, you don't want the reliance to be what you try. What the goal is to have a more successful sale is to have not to not demonstrate so much owner dependence. Mm-hmm. And again, meet Sally Meeps, Meeps CPA. There again, it's owner dependent. So what do you do to start changing the idea that it's really just Sally running the show when it isn't?
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Anyway, I think Sally will have a much easier time selling her business because she's already got a lot of infrastructure already in place and she generates a lot of revenue.
Yeah. That's and the banks would love to lend money. They're like, we need somewhere to lend money. They'd be like, give it to Sally.
Exactly. And Sally's a CPA, so she understands money, so she'll know what to do. So
absolutely. And look, and if her wealth manager is Stonehill Wealth Management, would be like, yeah, Sally, they're going to lend you money at 8%, basically what the value of the dollar is going down. So you can just get the free money, reinvest into a faster moving currency, and get the heck out of Dodge.
Exactly. When you're ready, and you would still maybe have an opportunity to do something part time, working on tax returns still after you retire. So anyway, I think this was a fun one to discuss, and I'm really excited to present this one at the end of May.
So how can people reach out to you?
You can reach me at my website, rifemartincpa.com, or you can email me at info@rifemartinaccounting.com, and I would love to talk with you about this and any other topic.
Thanks for sharing.
Have a great day.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.